Isn't this a sports show?
The Royals are currently beating the White Sox 4-0. They're going to blow it. How sad would that be? They have Duffy. I think they're fine today. Duffy's look good.
Almost entirely.
Well, oh, you say that.
And Danny Duffy just gave up a 2-run home run.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Any number between 1 and 4.
3
is the Kansas City Royals. We've talked about the Royals for a long time.
Let's keep it that way. 2.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
You gonna play this game?
Sure. What game is this? Is this the sadness game? Because I'm there.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
I'd like to start with a generally positive story. Something good that happened. Because a good portion of today's show is going to be about discussing pipe dreams and if they're feasible in any way. Is pipe dreams too negative? Maybe. I don't know. But I do know that I found something good on Twitter today. It's a genuinely good thing. And I feel like it's nice to start right now with sort of a palate cleanser, because I'm just imagining that everybody's life has sort of a negative film over it, just sort of making everything a little bit unpleasant. Whatever the opposite of rose-colored glasses are, I imagine we're all kind of wearing those. So I'm going to help you take those off before we go back to that point again. This is a tweet from at AmPetsAlive, short for American Pets Alive, a Twitter account that has written a story about the KC Pet Project. As of April 6th, KC Pet Project does not have a single pet available for adoption at their physical shelter. All of their available animals are now living outside of the shelter in foster homes. That's genuinely good news. Here's more from AmericanPetsAlive.org. On March 17th at KC Pet Project in Kansas City, Missouri, we had 676 pets in our care. 676 pets! With 356 of those in foster care. By March 25th, we had increased our number in foster to 500 pets. Now on April 6th, we do not have one single pet available for adoption at our physical shelter. Instead, all our available pets are now living outside of the shelter in foster homes. Now we're shifting our entire marketing strategy to promoting those pets and allocating resources to their foster program and those who manage it. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? The KC Pet Project doesn't have any pets in the building anymore. They've got them all fostered out. People are obeying stay-at-home orders, and they're doing it with, in most cases, you know, a temporary pet. Maybe some of those pets will just stay there afterwards. Maybe it'll become a permanent pet. Maybe they'll come back. And now more people know that you can foster animals. Maybe someone's going to eventually want to adopt one of the fostered animals. Look at that. Does that save the entire world? Is everything cool now? No. No, very much not that. But a little bit of positive news. I'm also looking at this website, a picture of a very happy looking pit bull, which those have a hard time getting adopted. I know there was a story a while back, I think we read on the show, about KC Pet Project having like hundreds of rats. I'm actually not sure they went to KC Pet Project, but someone like was a pet hoarder and had like 200 or 300 rats, I think. Not a single mouse left the AKC Pet Project. That's the energy I'm trying to bring for exclusively the first, like, 4 minutes of tonight's show. It's just me and Rudy again. Beard's still on the run. Although we'll hear from him on the weekend, which will be nice to get the chat with Beards.
Weird. I feel like I see him currently on the Facebook Live feed.
I did see that also. I'm glad that that's back. Rudy, have you considered fostering a pet? Did you partake in this? And if so, what kind of pet would you get?
So my thought process, like one day I think I want a pet. I'm not there yet. When I can take care of myself, like when I feel comfortable doing that, then I feel like I can take care of a pet, and especially like a foster situation. Like I'm more harm than good. And so I know my weaknesses here in life.
That's
and
okay.
I don't want to put a pet through that, but you know, I like, you know, your classic animals, you know, dogs. And you know what? I'll be honest. I also like cats because they're just very chill. Like, I feel like
you're a cat person now that you say that. I feel like you're a cat person.
I like dogs a lot, but like, I also really like cats. Like, cats are just very chill. Like, and yeah. Growing up, I always had a cat or cats and dogs. We always had at least a couple of each usually. Yeah. And we had the same cat for like 15 years. We found this cat like right after it was born. And we,
cat.
You know, we had it for forever. And I was probably the only person that cat liked. Cats weirdly like me too, and so that's the other thing. But again, it's just like they're very chill.
You've got cat energy. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I don't have to do a lot of work. It's calm. It's easy.
It poops in a box.
Yeah, like the work. They're doing the work for me. I just have to make sure to keep it fed. So
yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, but who doesn't like a good dog, right?
That's also true. So there, everybody. Happy pet news for you today. We've learned that Rudy has big cat energy. We've learned that Casey Pet Project emptied out their entire brick and mortar facility. That's all good. Rudy, I just hear your microphone on. I want to make sure that I give you whatever you're looking for.
No worries. Yeah, I was just waiting for a time to jump in. But basically, I am looking for my dream is like a Milo and Otis situation. Like, I'm looking for a cat and a dog, you know, get them together and they become best friends and maybe go on adventures, you know?
I had to Google Milo and Otis, but the stills from this film are remarkable.
So it came, I don't remember when it came out. I think before I was born even, but
yeah.
It was a movie that I watched like growing up as a kid. Yeah. So I remember being like 4 or 5 years old and watching this movie, and like they have voiceover actors obviously like talk
yes.
over the animals.
Yes.
And it's great. It was a great movie growing up.
That's fantastic. Okay, everyone should Google Milo and Otis because so you can see the posters.
I think like if I remember right, I think Milo was the dog, Otis was the cat. I might have that backwards, but one, I think the cat like falls into like a cup or something, like a tin can, and goes down a river, and the dog, you know, puppy just has, you know, chases him down and saves him. But now, you know, hey, where are we? We got to get home. And
it's beautiful.
It's their adventure home.
Milo is the cat. Otis is the pug. So it's an
that
orange
makes
tabby
sense.
Cat and a pug just hanging out, having a good time, I imagine. That's excellent. I would kind of like a cat dog situation where it's both
very
pets,
good.
But I only have to worry about one of them. Also, does cat dog poop?
So that's the thing. There are some things you have to wonder about and how the whole bodily functions work, but don't think about it too much is what I say.
I mean, if it's an animal that doesn't have to ever go to the bathroom, it is an extreme winner for me. Because that, I would rather just cut that part of pet ownership right out of there.
It's anyway. By far the worst part.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's nothing good about picking up poop in a bag. That's never a positive. And I can't think of any form in which that would be even just like an okay part of your day. I will purposefully attempt to time it out to where I take Scout, girlfriend Renee's dog, is here at the moment. And we're all social distancing together. And I will go out of my way to take Scout out whenever I think she just has to pee, and then purposefully, like, really lay it on, like, hey, Renee, your dog needs to go out whenever she's just eaten. Because I don't want to bleep with that bleep, literally.
I respect the game there.
Thank you. It's a finely tuned system at this point. Okay, well, I hope that helped somebody. We've gotten some very nice messages and some very nice tweets. I think calling a tweet a message is the oldest thing I could have ever said in my entire life. We've gotten some very nice tweets and whatnot from people who have said and given us their appreciations for making you feel a little bit better in a time where we all, by default, feel like we are currently picking up dog poop literally 24/7. And so, my goal today was to give you that. Also, we have Seth Kaiser at 9 tonight, top of the second hour. So that will make you feel better also, I promise. Talking to Seth makes me feel better. And we'll talk to him about some Chiefs stuff and then also the Barstool Pick 3 fast food chains graphic going around. At some point, Rudy and I will give ours as well. But we'll get Seth's. Tomorrow we're going to have Matt Verderam on, mostly to talk about his answer there. So we're gonna try to keep your spirits up over the course of this week. But also we need to talk about what the bleep baseball is doing right now, what they're trying to do, and I would love to have my spirits raised by this, but boy, it's zany. We have a zany idea from baseball. Here's the report from Jeff Passan. We'll play some Passan clips for you today as well, but here's the article by Jeff Passan on ESPN.com. Sources: MLB and Union focus on plan that could allow season to start as early as May in Arizona. I'd remind you right now that May is the month after April, I believe. Sources tell me.
Don't know if that checks out.
I think it goes April and then May. Again, I've got sources, you know.
We sure that's not a winter month?
I'm pretty sure it's the next one. The one that starts in a little over 20 days.
April anyway. Showers bring May blizzards. Isn't that the saying?
That's the saying. That's exactly right. Here's the first few graphs here from Passan. Major League Baseball and its players are increasingly focused on a plan that could allow them to start the season as early as May and has the support of high-ranking federal public health officials who believe the league can safely operate amid the coronavirus pandemic, sources told ESPN. Though the plan has a number of potential stumbling blocks, I add parenthetically, to put it kindly, it has emerged above other options as the likeliest to work and has been embraced by MLB and MLB Players Association leadership, who are buoyed by the possibility of baseball's return and the backing of federal officials, sources said. The plan, sources said, a lot of sourcing in this, would dictate that all 30 teams play games at stadiums with no fans in the Phoenix area, including at the Arizona Diamondbacks' Chase Field, 10 spring training facilities, and perhaps other nearby fields, which I add parenthetically again, there's a lot happening here. Players, coaching staffs, and other essential personnel would be sequestered at local hotels where they would live in relative isolation and travel only to and from the stadium, sources said. Federal officials at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as the National Institutes of Health, have been supportive of a plan that would adhere to strict isolation, promote social distancing, and allow MLB to become the first professional sport to return. And then the MLB issued a statement Tuesday saying that they've not settled on an option or don't have a detailed plan. Here's the thing. Passan's really good. I also like him as a radio guest, and the audio you hear from him is he's very, very good. Even though he did roast me about my hair being blonde the first time I spoke to him on the radio. That's fine. I'm not holding a grudge. Although right now Passan's hair is looking pretty flowing right now. Feel like, you know, maybe he could use my feedback at this point. Didn't burn that bridge. Passan. It was a long time ago. It wasn't that long ago. But I'm not bitter, though. I'm over it. I didn't take it personally.
You haven't thought about it once.
I haven't thought about it at all. That Jeff Passan, respected journalist, good-humored man, and baseball's Woj, you know, took me to task for having bleached my hair at the age of 24. I'm 25 now. I think that was last summer. I haven't thought about it at all. I'm totally over it. Anyway. There's a lot happening here. The point with Passan is that if he got this, this has been seriously discussed. That's the reporting. Major League Baseball can say, yo, we're not, come on now, we're not really looking at it that seriously. It's not a big deal. It's, you know, we're just talking. This doesn't read and doesn't sound from Passan like a half-baked idea that MLB is just sort of kicking around because everybody's bored. There's some weight behind this. And there's also some real problems with it. before we come back around to that, I feel like we need to go back to something from over the weekend. We didn't have a show last night, obviously, and so there's some we've started doing a little ESPN Kansas City, Sports Center Kansas City update between our coverage of 41 Action News' newscasts from 5 to 5:30, and then we're on 5:30 to 6, and then it's the newscast continues 6 to 7. But we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but Schefter and Woj wrote on ESPN.com over the weekend or early yesterday, I can't remember, that there was the conference call with President Trump and all of these major sports commissioners. And Trump said that the NFL season should be planning to start on time, and I feel some amount of responsibility to just sort of say in a non-political statement type of way, but just in the interest of trying to be factual to all people here, that he's not a doctor and has been very wrong about COVID-19 a pretty large number of times, especially in a way that has sort of under-predicted the oncoming severity of it. So, look, I know everybody wants to be as optimistic as possible. I know that you hear Easter or May or tomorrow or soon, and it's all of those things are words we want to believe. And also, we would love to take the word of any messenger that we can get, especially, you know, the president. You want to believe that the president's giving you good, timely information. There was a snippet from Schefter's and Woj's article, though, noting that Trump said he believed the NFL season should start on time in September. Quote, Trump also said he hopes to have fans back in stadiums and arenas by August and September, sources said, although it is currently unclear if medical experts find that to be a realistic timeline amid the current coronavirus pandemic. That last clause is doing a lot of work in that sentence. And I just think that if you're paying very close attention to what medical experts find to be realistic in terms of timeline, all of these things we've talked about since we stopped talking about puppies and kittens has been, at least for me, under a very sort of skeptical eye. Not even necessarily negative. I don't want to be negative. I would love nothing more at this point for there to be justifiably full stadiums in an NFL season that kicks off on time with the Chiefs at home on Thursday Night Football. I would love that. I would love to feel better about the way things are currently unfolding. I would love to feel better about consistent messaging as a country. I'd love to feel better about expectations being consistent. I'd love to feel better about a lot of things, but that would be disingenuous, and I also don't want to be that. There was a quote also from Dr. Alan Sills, the NFL's chief medical officer, as told to NFL.com's Judy Batista on Thursday, that said, quote, as long as we're still in a place where a single person, as long as we're still in a place where when a single person, a single individual tests positive for the virus, that you have to quarantine every single person who was in contact with them in any shape, form, or fashion, then I don't think you can begin to think about reopening a team sport. Again, that's the NFL's chief medical officer, and I am of the mind that the NFL is going to do literally anything possible to have football games on television as scheduled. The tickets and the fans in the stands and all of that, I'm just letting that go, like, until further notice. I don't see that happening, coming back around particularly soon. But, I mean, at this point, what a breath of fresh air it would be to just know that those games are going to be happening, or to have baseball on television, all of the logistics still notwithstanding. I just don't want people to get sort of false hope, which is why I kind of have this hesitance with baseball's plan, because I don't want to tell you baseball's coming back next month And then next month, who knows where we will be? Like literally, who knows where will we be in our homes? Will we be out in a more limited basis? Will we be in our homes even more permanently? I just don't know. And at this point, even the very best and the brightest on the topic admit to an amount of uncertainty and also admit to an amount of action that we have or haven't instituted, and then where we can get from there. How much we're doing and how much we still need to do. And so that's another thing that sort of, for me, covers this baseball plan, where I do wonder a bit about necessity. Look, if we snap our fingers and then tomorrow we have enough tests for everybody who needs them, and then also enough tests for people who don't quote-unquote need them, like hundreds and hundreds of healthy baseball players, or really potentially thousands, around 1,000, I think Pastin ended up saying in a clip you'll hear later, of people who could operate inside of this bubble city, who are running the hotels and cooking the meals, and, I mean, like the grounds crews. We're talking about all of these different spring training fields, and then the Diamondback Stadium as well. Those spring training fields, those are outdoors because they're supposed to be done by now. You want to be playing baseball outside in August in Phoenix? I would not. The Diamondback Stadium is indoors. I think the roof is retractable, but I should know that.
It is.
There.
Yes.
Thank you.
It is retractable, so they could have like AC and whatnot.
Yeah, because it turns into the pit of the devil's stomach.
It's a little hot, I hear.
Yeah,
in the desert.
That's another way to say it. That's a less hyperbolic way to say it. But there are just all of these logistical issues that, again, that I don't point out to be a buzzkill, but just to try to manage expectations a little bit. And so if you'd like to hear this full thing, I would say, if you're interested at all, wait until we're done at 10, and then go grab the ESPN Daily podcast with Mina Kimes. Jeff Passan was on the show with her today, and they were talking about this. Passan kind of laid out some of the details, and then Mina rightfully noted that a potential May start time would be earlier than anyone had predicted up to this point.
It is, and I think it really speaks to the fact that both of them want to come back and get as many games as possible this year, and they feel like they have stumbled upon a plan in which they can do it. Now, it's a plan with a really high degree of difficulty, and we have to remember that this whole time. Like, if this thing falls apart spectacularly, not sure that anyone's going to be surprised, but what you are going to have, I think, is players who are motivated to get paid and a league that is motivated not to lose a season. And when you have both of those things working together, all of the logistics can get figured out. That's just a matter of time. And whether it's May like they're hoping for or June like might be more realistic, I think they're going to do everything that they can because they know if this does not work, then the backup alternative is probably no season in 2020.
So walk us through the plan. What are the broad strokes?
All in all, every major league player is going to move to Phoenix, Arizona, or the surrounding area, where he will live in a hotel and go between that hotel and the ballpark. And when I say the ballpark, there's Chase Field, where the Diamondbacks play. There are 10 other spring training facilities there where other teams play. And then you've got other stadiums around the area that, because there are going to be no fans in the stands for these games, could be used. You're going to essentially, Mina, have baseball in a biosphere. And the idea is that if you have a contained situation, then the likelihood of somebody contracting coronavirus is less if you go through all of these strict protocols that are being outlined by the public health officials who have behind the scenes been rubber stamping this. And it is that rubber stamp from the health officials that has given MLB really confidence to push this thing forward, and the Players Association confidence to take it to the wider group of players and test out and see if they're really ready to do this, to do what essentially would be the closest thing you can imagine for athletes to military conscription, where they're going to be by themselves, separated from their families for an indefinite amount of time.
It's a really tough sell. I mean, when you put it that way, it's something that no one really would want to sign up for. I mean, he compares it to a military life, which isn't what, I mean, that's not what most of us sign up for. If you have, and you've gone through that, you know, knowing you're going into that as a member of the military, you know, we all kind of agree culturally that you are wired differently, and also thanks. Thank you for doing that. Because most of us don't want to do that. Baseball isn't war or preparation for it. So it's a really unique circumstance, and it's not even just, hey, as long as, you know, we're putting ankle bracelets on everybody, we're playing it this way, and as long as no one breaks the seal, we're good. Is that even plausible? Could that be pulled off from a logistical standpoint? Could you have over 1,000 people all tested on intake, tested again while they're there on a consistent basis, then never leave, and then nobody ever enters without being tested and then quarantined, and then nobody can get it, or else that house of cards gets wobbly. And they talked about this later in the podcast. You know, what happens if someone does get coronavirus inside the bubble? And Paston says he thinks they would continue through that, even if someone does essentially contaminate the biosphere. And I don't know how you pull that one off. I mean, I guess someone has it and then you test around, but man, you've got to get it in the instant. And so that, you know, we'll play some stuff later about how they continue social distancing and all of that. So you could say, hey, you know what? If someone has it, it's not necessarily going to immediately transmit. And baseball has less player-to-player contact than football, certainly, than basketball, obviously. So there's an opportunity for that. Like, based off of where players line up, they're going to maintain those 6 feet. Which is, again, not true in the other sports.
Baseball's been ahead on this social distancing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's been the sport from the jump, and then also they've, you know, slowly been social distancing from their fans. What? That was unfair. It's
but
foreshadowing.
True.
It is also true. It's foreshadowing, though, to the place where actually this could get kind of interesting if baseball does try to pull this off. But I find the idea of this really, like, I joked about this on our ESPN, our Sports Center Kansas City yesterday. Like, it really is a singer, a Stephen King. I read the word singer somewhere because someone died. I saw that someone died, and I saw the word singer, which is why I said singer just there. I'm on quarantine brain at this point. You would literally have a Stephen King style dome over the top if you could. Well, I didn't think that I would say that yesterday, and then later that night, this morning, you would see that as the actual plan. It just strikes me as remarkably difficult. Also, depending on the types of tests, and I'm in over my head on this one, but virtually no test, that might not be fair, but you're going to find some variance in false positives or false negatives. Like, that can happen, and especially in these early forms of coronavirus tests. I've seen a little bit of work about when those can be falsely read. Well, if someone gets a false negative, and if you're saying that 1,000 people are going through these mythical gates into the bubble, if you have a single false negative, the whole ecosystem would be fundamentally compromised. And again, Passan said he thinks they would power through that. And they're trying to get on TV. Baseball right now is trying to get on TV. And we'll talk about what that might look like whenever we come back. But I find this as a mixture of, and I also Passan said this somewhere else today. Thanks to Jeff Passan for doing the first segment for me. I find this to be a mixture of hope and skepticism. Again, I think two words that he uses in the clip we'll play later. For me, it's more skepticism at this point, just because this seems so outlandish. And if they can get the players to pull it off, or even get enough players to pull it off, another element of this is, what if players just say, nah, I'm good? Which some will. If this happens, not every single player is going to sign up for 4 months of isolation to play baseball with a family at home. But if they do, even if they do decide this is a plan we can make happen, isn't there a fair question to be asked about exactly how many mountains we're willing to move to get baseball on television whenever the world in general right now could use some mountains moved? I know that there's not a direct one-to-one of, oh, resources here mean resources go away from over here. But in terms of tests right now, it does. I'm not saying that baseball's governing body should be trying to fix coronavirus for anyone other than baseball. That's totally reasonable to me. But we are looking to make a lot of pretty outrageous accommodations for baseball, which I would love to have back. I literally, I mean this completely genuinely, never in my life have I been more enamored by the idea of baseball being played on my television on a daily basis. I don't know if I might be done after three. I might be done watching non-Royals games after about three editions of Sunday Night Baseball. I don't know, maybe. But I would love to throw on some, give me any Astros game. I forgot about how exciting that was. Put the Astros on Sunday Night Baseball playing in an empty Chase Field. And let me play Animal Crossing in handheld mode on my Switch. And let's get some baseball going again. It got up to like close to 80 degrees today. I wouldn't know. I didn't spend any time outside. Open up the windows. Let's let it feel like baseball season. I would love that. This just seems like a lot. It just seems like a lot to me. Passan had more really useful stuff on the topic. There are some other elements of it that I think are pretty interesting. Let's take a break. We'll talk about that whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I have a DM, no context, from Michael, just says, Dick, long pause, justice.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last segment got a little dark, so another reminder that Casey Pet Project doesn't have any pets in the building anymore. They're all fostered out. Look at that. Good news. I might mention that every segment for the rest of the show. Imagine all these dogs that are happy to have homes, and now Casey Pet Project's going to try to get them permanent homes.
Might be the good news for a few shows.
It might be. I actually have another one lined up for tomorrow, a different one, but I don't want to burn them all today, because at this point, I don't know how long we're going to have on positive news. I'll say
good
this.
Good news is like toilet paper. If you can find it, you hold on to it for as long as you can.
You reserve it. You ration that out. Yes, 100%. For all of the horrible things that I either ask or don't ask people to tweet me, if you have a story like, hey, this is a nice little story, preferably involving animals or something completely pure and even not related to coronavirus, because even the incredibly powerful stories of the people working across the front lines and especially medical professionals in the grand scope of all of that, incredible stories, people that we should have said thank you to more often before now, and then now we're all playing catch up and just saying thank you for doing living the front end of this nightmare. Even those stories, I'll take them. No question, I'll take them. But they also are a little bit sad still, because it reminds you of the suffering that is currently going on and how we got here and all of that. So if I could just get like an un-virus-related like animal story on a daily basis, just tweet me at JB Briscoe. Say, hey, here's an animal story that you can talk about on the show tomorrow night. I greatly appreciate that. So here we were talking last segment about baseball's non-planned plan, or at least unplanned plan. Jeff Passan reported it, and MLB said, like, hey, we're not doing this at the moment, essentially. But, I mean, it got to Passan because it's a real idea.
People are talking about it.
And it's, well, certainly people are talking about it. God, yes. But, like, it, like,
I
it's
mean,
not
like, people,
just people
in their organization. Like, it, like, MLB is discussing this and considering this as a real possibility.
Yeah, and yes, as a real possibility being the key phrase there, I would say. But the logistical issues that pop up around it are mind-boggling. Just pretty tremendous. Again, Passan was on ESPN Daily today with Mina Kimes, that podcast, and I played a clip from it earlier. Here's one more from ESPN Daily, because this element of it I think is kind of interesting in a way that's a little bit less soul-crushing. Because Mina asked Passan about what the game could look like on the field if it were to actually happen.
Oh, it's got a chance to be amazing. Like, it really does. And it's got a chance to be amazing because I think everybody involved in this understands that this is going to be an asterisk year no matter what. I mean, the fact that if Major League Baseball is back out there publicly, it can model the kinds of behavior that it wants, that you know, federal officials want the public to see. So, for example, instead of players sitting in the dugout, you could potentially see them sitting in the empty stand 6 feet away from each other. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. You could potentially have an electronic strike zone, so you don't have the umpire hovering over the catcher and right next to the batter. I'm almost positive if games are played this year, there will be no mound visits. You could have more of the all-access type games where players are mic'd up, because this is going to become a TV-only sport. And if baseball is a TV-only sport, it's got to do a much better job of selling itself to a public that for years now has been watching it decreasingly. And like, this is baseball's chance to remind fans why they should love it. And I think that's a really big allure for the sport as well. And one of the reasons why it's as gung-ho as it is on this, both on the league side and the player side.
So there's a couple of elements in that I find particularly interesting. First of all, is you get the understanding there of why they so badly want to make this happen. It can be a chance to be the only game in town. I mean, if baseball figures out something that I imagine most professional sports will start getting to the point of figuring out something. Right now, though, I'm not sure that they will. I'm not sure anyone will. I'm not sure about much, to be honest, around all of this. But the idea that, like, maybe this is the thing that pushes baseball into creativity is pretty fascinating, where there are things that we may have suggested in a normal season or off season. I mean, there's the let's fix baseball, baby. What are we going to do during this particular slow week in sports? Let's fix baseball. Well, now we're all fixing baseball because there is nothing going on. And so, now look, 7-inning doubleheaders in Arizona sounds like a nightmare, because you could start that game at 6 a.m., and it would be sweltering by the time you'd finished the second seven. So I don't feel great about that. But you want to bring in Rudy? You might help me on this. Who just suggested the home run derby to end games, sort of shootout style?
Was it Trevor Bauer?
No, it wasn't. It was not.
Who? Let me look.
Hold on. I think, is it Justin Turner? Let's find out. Is it Justin Turner? Yes, I got it. I got it in one.
Oh, man, I'm a little surprised Justin Turner's in the news.
Yeah, he said he proposed a home run derby for extra innings. Anyway, which is something that, like, we've talked about during a slow summer on ESPN Kansas City many a time. Or seven-inning games, weird but okay. Electronic strike zone, yeah, we all want that. We just didn't think this is what it was going to take to get there. I shouldn't say we all. I certainly do. No mound visits, sure. Could we get mics on everybody? Hell yeah. We talked about that like a month ago. Whenever there were spring training games going on, we had audio of a couple of guys who were mic'd up for their at-bats, and it was wonderful television. Like, truly excellent. I would be thrilled to have that. I don't need them to try to get 162 games in. They need to let that go. Play 9-inning games and play 80 of them. Or 82, whatever. It's fine. You think you could get in a full NBA-sized regular season? That's plenty. Especially with, as Passan said, hey, this whole season has an asterisk on it, and not just because the Astros are still a team. Like, this whole season is going to be incredibly weird. But if they can get something on television, again, on-field mics, micing more things up, that's good for the experience.
I don't mean to cut you off. I have just on TV ESPN, and they're playing an old baseball game. And you know who just stepped up to bat? Rex Hudler.
What?
Rex Hudler with the Angels playing Baltimore. I think this is Cal Ripken's like game where he broke the most consecutive starts.
No kidding.
And Rex Hudler's up to bat right now. He's 0 for 2 on the day. It's not great, but you know what? He's there.
Rex Hudler was playing opposite Cal Ripken Jr. in the record-breaking game?
He was.
That is a bit of trivia I did not know.
Nice rip by him there. Foul ball, but nice rip. Back when they were the California, I'm sorry, like I just glanced up and I just saw the names for Rex Hudler. I was like, oh my God.
No, that would have distracted me in a fashion that would have been genuinely mind blowing. Say, wait a second. I didn't know that Josh could be that distracted by old baseball. That's exactly what it would take. What do you think Rex Hudler's career batting average was? I'm trying to find. I got it. Okay. 13 years in baseball.
I'm going to say 223.
Oh, 223? Bleep, you think he is. He's 261.
Dang, look at Rex.
Career high. He had a... Well, he only played... That's not going to count.
ESPN has now made the distinction that they put up the wrong graphic, though. So Rex Hudler is currently not batting, but he is on this team. He is playing in this game, though. You know how every now and then they'll put up the wrong player graphic for who's up to bat, who's up to at bat, and they just put up the new one. It's some guy named Spike Owen.
Rex batted 311 in '96 season.
Dang, look at Rex go.
Also, most at bats he ever had in a year. No one gave Rex a chance.
He was also with Bo Jackson in '96. I believe it was '96. I think that's when Bo Jackson was with the Angels. Because I know they spent at least a year together, or at least a spring training together.
I would love to. Darren Erstad was on that team. All right, we're finding my wheelhouse here.
1996 baseball.
I mean, it really is. Why did Darren Erstad grab my attention? What happened there? Did he have a Wichita State connection at some point? I feel like that's the only logical thing, but he went to Nebraska.
I mean, Nebraska plays Wichita State in baseball, so it is entirely possible that you have a memory from there.
That can't be it. That doesn't feel possible.
Yeah, 1994, Rex and Bo were both with the Angels.
94? You said 96 earlier, so I was looking at the 96 team.
I knew it was at some point, like they were together at least for a year in the mid-90s.
No excuses. You got it wrong, Rudy. Yeah, 94. Harold Reynolds was on that team. Welcome to 1994 California Angels talk. Who says this show isn't sportsy? Come on.
Give me a Ripken and Hud.
Yeah, Spike Owen. Incredible baseball name.
Couldn't touch Hud, though.
Jim Edmonds on that team. 94 Angels talk.
That's a pretty good team.
That's a pretty good team. What did they end up doing here? Let's see. How did that team finish out? Oh, 47-68.
Not great.
Not that good of a team.
Was that the strike year?
It sure was.
Okay.
It sure was.
O.J. Simpson, it's all coming together.
We're pulling it all together. Let's see if there's like a picture here that rings a bell. Let's just scroll for a second. Nah, nothing. I remember I will always remember that's the 94 season was the strike shortened year. Because I loved baseball so much that I wanted to know things about like the 94 season because that was the year that I was born. And so I wanted to like, oh, who won the World Series in 1994? Nobody.
Certainly not Bills fans.
Did you say certainly not Bills fans?
Yeah, because of the OJ. That's how I learned about the strike in 94 was the OJ documentary.
Okay, so I will have to admit some
or the 30 for 30, you know, on it was on like that specific date where it was like, you know, the OJ car chase is going on.
Sure.
An NBA basketball game gets cut off for this and baseball goes on strike.
Okay, yeah, so the ignorance I'll have to admit is that I didn't know what that all had to do with each other.
All happened basically at the same time.
Weird. Like, we could have had a Yankees Expos World Series that year.
I think the Royals were in like first place in their division that year.
They weren't.
Weren't they pretty good?
I don't know, but I'm just looking right now at the playoffs, and the White Sox and Indians were both in, so they weren't that good. I'm now on Baseball Reference pulling. I know I am too. I'm on Baseball Reference trying.
64-51, 4 games back of the White Sox.
All right, they would have made the playoffs now, probably, right?
I mean, maybe? You don't know. They might have went on a streak and made the playoffs.
Yeah.
4 games back. They could win the division.
They could have gone on a tear. Okay, hold on. Baseball. I need Baseball Reference to be a little bit easier to explore. Oh, we just reminded me to take a break. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, we got distracted by. We were going to get distracted by the 1994 Royals, and then remember I had to play commercials. That makes sense. There's more baseball stuff to talk about whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
My favorite memory of this last run of Royals players is every time this year that I said they're going to be a 500 team, and then everyone yelled at me.
Of course, you make it about you.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Who remembers Hippolito Picardo, huh? 1994 Royals, let's go.
Okay, now you're just making up names.
He was a Royal from 92 through 98.
Oh, man.
Put some respect on his name.
A Hall of Famer?
Middle reliever, looks like, probably. He appeared in a good handful of games. He had some starts early, then was relief, but not a lot of save opportunities. Just in the 94 season, he appeared in this is rough. He appeared in 45 games, finished 19 of them, 3 saves. So not a great sort of setup there for his 4.92 ERA.
Yeah, he's used in games that probably didn't have a lot of meaning to him. You know, games that were over.
It's true. That's not really his fault. Remember Bob Hamilton? Doesn't he do
Bob
pipes
Hamilton?
And stuff? Yeah, he just does pipes and stuff, right? I know he was a Royal. Bob Hamilton. Mike McFarland's on this team. Like, listen, if you go through '90s Royals, you're gonna find like, I've got half of this roster in my phone right now. I've got contacts for half of these guys. It's not entirely true. Jeff Montgomery. Did you think there was any chance that today's first hour would end with the 1994 Royals and me just going through and just going...
None at all.
Greg Gagne! Was that... did anyone have me mentioning Wally Joyner? Just a very unique hour we've done. Seth Kaiser's next. Mark Gubazov!